for listening to the Build Alaska podcast. I'm your host, Xavier Schley, and I'm with
Kelly Puff from the King Career Center Culinary Arts Program.
And how long have you been here?
I have been here almost 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where'd you come from?
I came from industry. I used to work...
No, but I mean from Anchorage? Or?
Oh, yeah, from Anchorage. I've been here since I was 8. I came up with my parents. My dad was in the military, so he transferred up here and retired, and we stayed here
you
ever
in high
since.
School here then?
Wasilla.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And did you do any vocational stuff in high school? Or?
I didn't. They didn't have programs like this back in the day and out in the valley.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how did you get here then? You said you went to culinary arts school?
I did. So I went to culinary school a little bit later in life. It took me a little bit of time to figure out what do I want to do. And I didn't even realize that being a chef was a career path that I could follow. I think partly because it wasn't presented to me in high school. It was, you know, there wasn't a lot of options. So I received a flyer in the mail advertising the program at UAA, the culinary program.
Oh, so you came through there?
Yeah. Oh, so great. I got my associate's degree and then went into the industry and worked for years as a pastry chef, different places around town and as a chef. And then the position here at the King Career Center came open, and these positions don't open up very often. Yeah. It's a coveted position. So I applied and was hired, and now I'm here.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about students that are coming into your program.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things do they need to know after they've decided that they're going to come here for half a day?
So it's a tough program, the culinary program. A lot of folks think when they come in, they're going to be cooking, and it's like what you see on TV on the Food Network, and it's a little more involved than that. You have to learn about sanitation and safety first. You know, we've got to get you in the kitchen, working safe, working clean so we don't make anybody sick. And then you're on your feet the whole class period. We don't take breaks. We don't sit down. But we're very hands-on. And so the class period, it goes by fast. You learn a lot about time management, about it takes a level of maturity to do well in the class because each student is set on different tasks. And so you have to be able to self-manage and watch the clock and make sure you're going to get your task done on time.
Well, yeah, and I think also if you're already a kid who's spending half a day in their normal high school and then coming here for either the first half or the second half, time management's going to become pretty relevant pretty quickly anyway.
Yep. Definitely. And we serve lunch for staff and students 3 days a week. So that's the other great thing about our class is you're actually producing something that people are consuming, and you get that gratification of the feedback of, wow, that was amazing. Or are you going to make those brownies again? The kids love it. I mean, it's just a great feeling. So it's good to have that full circle with them.
Yeah. And like I said, I was talking to Tasha.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you pronounce your last name? It's not
Hewitt.
Quiet.
It looks like quiet.
I know, it really does. With an extra T.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was talking to her yesterday about kind of why she decided she wanted to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what are the typical reasons that you have kids coming into the culinary program?
So it's a wide variety. Tasha, she knew what she wanted to do early on. I met her in her freshman year. She was on the Pro Start team.
Yeah, she was talking about that.
Yeah, and I just remembered her because her enthusiasm for the culinary arts was just genuine and heartfelt, and she knew this is what I want to do. And now she's at UAA finishing up her degree.
Yeah.
So you have that end of the spectrum, and then you have the other end where kids are like, well, this sounds like, you know, it could be fun. I've seen some stuff on TV. My parents would love it if I came home and cooked once in a while. I just want to feel it out. So we get... Well,
they're just thinking that this might be their career.
It might be. And it's a great way to figure it out. It doesn't cost money. You know, it's not like you're going to culinary school to then drop out after 6 months. So you get to kind of explore the program and figure out, this is what it's really like in a commercial kitchen. Do I love it? If you don't, it's really hard to fake it. You can't hide and you can't pull back in this class because it's so hands-on. So, yeah.
So for kids that are considering coming here, you know, you talked a little bit about what they should expect when they get here.
Mm-hmm.
What are the questions they should be asking themselves when they start thinking, well, maybe that is maybe that is where I want to go?
So it's the culinary arts is it's a tough industry. It's long hours, it's hot, in the kitchen. It's physical work. So you have to ask yourself, do I really love this? And do I see myself excelling in this? In our town, people with passion and good work ethic and good soft skills and good basic foundational culinary skills will go really far. We've got a shortage of hard workers.
What's a soft skill?
A soft skill is making eye contact, speaking clearly, shaking hands, basically the physical appearance of a student.
And from what every student I've spoken to from here tells me, that's a part of what they learn here.
It is. It's professionalism. Each and every class has a professionalism component. And for us, it's your uniform. Are you dressed out? Do you have all components of your uniform? Is it clean? Does it look like you slept in it last night?
Tasha told me they get two coats issued when they come here.
Yeah.
And they need to have one with them clean every day.
Yep. It's up to them to do the rotation. So one goes in the laundry. It's gone for a week. So you got to keep your coat clean. And
in the kitchen for a week?
Mm-hmm. But we have bib aprons. And we show them if you use the bib part, it keeps your uniform cleaner longer. But and sometimes they just get messy. So they have to switch out before. But yeah.
So I was talking also about, you know, with Tasha about her decision to become a cook.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that made you decide that's what you wanted to do?
I've always loved to bake since I was a little girl. And when I was a little girl, Easy Bake Ovens came out and they were super popular. Yeah. And I wanted one so bad. And it had just so happened that they were catching on fire.
Uh-huh.
And so, so my mom was like, nope, not getting an Easy Bake Oven. So she taught me how to use the big oven in the kitchen. She bought me the little Easy Bake pans and the little mixes. And
How old were you?
I was 8.
Yeah.
And it was right before we moved up here. So she taught me how to use all of the equipment and, you know, how to properly prep the pan so the cake didn't stick and this and that. And that got me started. And from there, I learned how to measure. I learned how to follow recipes. And my personality, very meticulous, detail-oriented, so baking and mm-hmm. me just went hand in hand. It wasn't until my 10-year high school reunion, they asked for volunteers to make desserts. And so I, of course, went overboard and did a bunch of these desserts and garnished them and made them look beautiful. And people were commenting on who did this and where can we buy them and is this a professional? And I was like, no, it's just me. And the comments were made, you know, you should go to culinary school or you should do this for a living. And then I got that flyer in the mail like 2 weeks later.
Oh, really?
It was crazy. The timing of it was really kind of eerie. But I went and toured the program and fell in love. As soon as I walked into the kitchen, I knew that's where I wanted to be. So, yeah.
I've talked to, you're the third cook I've spoken to. Mm-hmm. And all of them are very similar, and like they all started out really young,
yeah,
you know, and it never was a profession for most of them. It was just something that they really cared about.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I love the feeling of seeing somebody looking at what I have made and, you know, visually being like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to try this. And then when they taste it and it's equally as satisfying, it's just, there's no feeling like it for me. That's so satisfying.
I have twins. And my daughter at 4 was interested in the process of cooking. And
wow.
And sort of, you know, like whatever she could do, she wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then and it just built from that. Like, she's been into it ever since. She's when both of them were very little, they started our the family cookbook, you know, even before they could spell, they would draw pictures of what was going on and stuff.
Cute. You know?
And I was telling Tasha this too. I just bought my daughter her first chef's knife.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
Like, with a little handle because
yeah.
She's 11, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I bought my son his first chef knife. He just moved out, and I said, hey, don't forget your chef knife, a little 6-inch Wusthof knife. And he was like, oh, that's right. And I mean, if you take care of it, it'll last forever. But yeah, that's a great investment.
Well, we could get pretty deep in the woods on that subject. That's one of the things. Like, when I got done with my interview with Tasha for 45 minutes, we talked about sourdough starters
right.
and knives. So
we have to talk about something different.
Yeah, but okay. I would love to see your kitchen
yeah.
before we leave and maybe grab some pictures of that.
Sure. It's pretty big.
That's what I hear, yeah.
Compared to what you see in industry, it's a pretty big space. But the baking side of the class and the hot food side of the class are combined, so we share a big space.
Mm-hmm. Are those typically taught separately?
There's two instructors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you, are you the baking instructor?
Yeah, I'm the pastry arts. And so we split the class in half, and we just flip-flop them back and forth through the semester.
I think when I was here for the open house,
mm-hmm.
possibly you and one of your students were competing nationally in something?
Internationally.
Yeah. So tell me how that's... Let's start with the competition here and
okay.
and go to where you got on that.
So Skills USA is a CTSO, Career Technical Student Organization. It's student-led, and we meet after school to do chapter meetings and then also to do our practice sessions. So in 2012, we started a culinary team, and I had one student compete in 2013. Her name is Alexis Wells, and I took her to nationals. And
where were nationals?
Nationals at that time were in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And she was more passionate about baking, but we were only competing in culinary because there was no baking competition in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, Chef Puff, if I do well at nationals, will you host a baking competition for me next year so I can compete in baking? She was a junior. So I said, okay, if you get in the top five. She placed fourth in the nation. So in 2014, I did the first commercial baking competition in Alaska. So we've done really well competing nationally. At state, we've won first place, first, second, and third, I think, every year we've competed.
And is state always in Anchorage, or does it move around?
Yes, it's so. Always in Anchorage.
And where was national last year, then?
Last year it was in Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how you're supposed to say it.
Yeah, Louisville. Uh-huh. They'll correct you. So in 2016, we went to nationals. Jordan Baker was my Alaska state champ, and she won first place at nationals. It was amazing. I knew she had done well, but didn't know how she had mm-hmm. placed. You know, you just never know.
So what are typically the skills on which they're judging you?
So baking is huge. It's one of the longest competitions. We're the first to hit the competition floor and one of the last to leave. So they have to make bread from scratch, and then the bread is then formed into three different shapes: knots, like dinner roll size knots, braids, and then loaves of bread.
Oh, that's right. You're the bread person here.
Yeah.
You're in so much trouble. I have a lot of questions for you on sourdough.
So then there's cookies. There was pie, baked and unbaked pie, pineapple pie.
Oh, okay.
And then had to split, fill, ice, and decorate a cake to a specified order.
What does split fill ice mean?
So you split the layers and then fill them and then ice the outside of the cake.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then pipe borders and roses and all that. And then I know I'm forgetting something. We had to do a quick bread. I think she had to do blueberry muffins that year, and then pâte à choux, which is cream puffs and eclairs.
All of that.
All of that in one competition.
While being judged on it.
Yes. So
super stressful.
The whole time, judges are on the floor. They're watching how they move through the kitchen. They're watching their time management. They're watching their station organization. And then, of course, they're tasting the product.
How long does all that take?
It's 7 hours.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of stuff to do in one shift, you know?
Yeah. It's a long
and
day.
And to keep track of, one thing's baking, you're probably making the next.
Absolutely. You have to be multitasking. Yeah. You can't just do one thing at a time. So Jordan, within the first 15 minutes of walking out onto the competition floor, she walked out, she was setting up her station, and she bent over to open up her tote, and she ripped her pants. And she went through the whole competition not knowing how badly they were ripped. So she did awesome. She waited till the very last minute to put her product out. Just, I think she did it on purpose just to see me stressing out on the other side of the tables, because I'm like, I know she's doing really well, but she's missing stuff. And the last 5 minutes, she put the rest of her product out. So that gave her the opportunity to interview to become a World Skills baker. And so March of last year, they interviewed three candidates, I believe, and Jordan just swept it. She's got a great personality, and she's very dedicated to baking. One of the most dedicated students I've ever worked with. She's just amazing.
And she's graduating?
She's graduated.
What's she doing now?
She is at the CIA, Culinary Institute of America. She got a full ride scholarship with that win.
There's two, though. There's one on the West Coast and one on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, so she's been at the Napa Valley campus, and she just graduated with her associates.
Oh, neat.
She's doing an externship in Sonoma, and then in the fall she'll go to the New York campus to get her bachelor's.
Wow.
And that's all paid for.
That's great.
With her win. But in October, we got to go to Abu Dhabi for 9 days, and she competed on an international level, 4 days of competition, and she placed 12th in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That must have been fun. And you went to Abu Dhabi also?
I did. She came home to train. It was fast and furious. Usually they give
training?
Yeah.
What was involved in that?
A lot. So there was spreads made from starters. There was, probably 14 different products she had to make, and all from scratch. So she had to build the doughs.
And so these were what was going to happen in that competition. She's just prepping for it here.
So what we would do is replicate full run through. So we would do day one, day two, day three, day four.
Wow.
And then, okay, what worked, what didn't work, and then just keep honing it in and refining it. So trying to get a practice schedule for her was really difficult because she was still in culinary school. They didn't necessarily want to give her
a day. Yeah,
and she didn't want to miss days because then she'd get dropped and she'd lose her scholarship. And so we finally got it worked out to where she could come home for about 4 weeks, and we practiced every day for 4 weeks. Most competitors had been practicing for at least a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she did amazing considering the amount of time. Like I said, I couldn't ask for a better student.
Where did she come from? From what high school?
She came from South High School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you said she came her junior year, so she did two?
No, that was Alexis. Oh. So she came her senior year. She was in her second semester with me when she competed at state. Yep.
And how will things change for your program when this becomes the King,
King Tech High School. We're not totally sure. We're kind of like looking at how is this going to fit in? The class period times aren't changing so much, but they're looking at changing the curriculum, and so the hands-on might change a little bit. Not totally sure yet. Hmm. Yep.
So when your students leave here, I know that there's a career fair and that you know, you guys are pretty good at helping kids get placed.
Definitely.
What's that process like?
So a lot of times what I do is I look at the student and their personality and then think about the different restaurants around town that they would do well in, because there's some places where you're just like, they're not going to fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, generally will say, hey, you need to go apply at Snow City or Spinard Roadhouse or Kincaid Grill, and I'll give the chef a call or I'll zip them an email and let them know you're coming.
And how's your, like, what percentage do you think of the kids that leave here and go get a job?
Or go on into culinary school?
Even if they don't want to stay or whatever, like, how many of them want a job?
At the end of it?
Yeah.
More so in the spring semester, definitely. I would say 10-20%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, your 4 or 5 kids probably get picked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a start. So.
Well, and even if they don't end up going into into cooking or they've learned how to interview, they've learned how to dress for an interview,
learned how to cook well enough to take care of themselves, you know, and feed themselves. And also what I love about our industry is everybody needs to eat.
Yeah.
So the skills you get here, you can always get a job. You can always get a job dishwashing, prepping, you know, just basic foot in the door kind of work.
You can always find something.
Yeah. While you put yourself through school to do something else, you know, you always have a backup.
So I always end on the same question. It's my favorite question. And because I'm going to ask it to you in two ways, because you have worked in the industry, and then you work here.
Okay.
So I usually ask what's the weirdest thing that happened on the job, but because it's because it's cooking, I asked Tasha, and I'll ask it to you the same way. What's the weirdest thing you've heard happening on the job? Because you never want to say, you know, we may have worked there. What's the weirdest thing you've heard about, though?
Okay, so finding a pig tooth in a piece of bacon.
The tooth, that's disconcerting for sure.
On the plate, on the floor, in the customer's hand, yes. Yeah.
And then what's the strangest thing that's happened here while people are cooking?
Some of the interpretations, for example, egg wash is... Oh. When I think of egg wash, it's egg and water whisked together to, you know,
but glaze a bread.
But they're like putting the water over the egg in a bowl to clean it, yeah. You know, because you're washing the egg. So
when I was in high school, my high school girlfriend lived way up on the hillside, and I got to go up there and meet her family, and she was going to make me a pie. But because they lived so far out of town, they had a huge... you know, room with just ingredients in it, and they were all in containers. And she thought she was grabbing sugar.
Oh, yep.
She grabbed salt and made an entire pie that way.
Oh, no.
And so I sit down, and they cut me a piece of it, and, you know, I'm trying to meet the family for the first time, and I go to eat this apple pie, and it's hideous.
It's gross,
know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, also, she's a sweet girl. Like, I don't want, you know, like, I really want to like it.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to smile the whole time. So that was the worst sort of I picked the wrong ingredient story that I can kind of remember.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad one, too. Salt for sugar. Ooh, you're...
Well, thanks for helping me out.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Take some pictures of your kitchen.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.